Start with our first scripture reading this morning, which comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 through 29. Consider your own call, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, things that are not, to reduce to nothing things that are, so that no one might boast in the presence of God. Our second reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25. It's a story you probably know well, and you heard me share a little bit with the children, but I encourage you to pretend as if you do know it well, that it's the very first time you've ever heard it. So try to go back in your mind and in your life. Matthew 25. For it is as if a man going on a journey summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one, he gave 5 talents. To another, 2. To another, 1, to each according to his ability. And then he went away. And after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. And then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. And his master said to him, Well done. Good and trustworthy slave, you have been trustworthy in a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one with the 2 talents also came forward, saying, Master, you handed over to me 2 talents, and see, I have made 2 more talents. And his master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave, you have been trustworthy in a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid. And I went and hid your talent in the ground. And here you have what is yours. But his master replied, You wicked and lazy slave. You knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was at least my own interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him, the one with the 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. May the Lord bless to our understanding the reading of his word. I want to talk to you today about talents. Well, let's just imagine for a second that someone that lived in a different country that had never met you appears right before you right now and said, Hey, what's your talent? And, you know, how many talents do you have? Are you using them? A great philosopher once said, Most people die with their music still inside them. And so I ask you, are you playing your music? What are your strengths and what are your weaknesses? And are you trying to strengthen your strengthenings and strengthen your weaknesses? Most people who come to their older years in life look back and they often reflect and wish they had done more with what they had. I mean, my father and I were talking about it this week, and he's 75 now, almost 76. And he says when he looks back on his life, you know, he definitely gave a lot to the Lord, and he certainly gave a lot as a father and a man of faith. But, you know, he kind of reflects on what he wished he could have done or could have learned, right? And he always wanted to design a horse. You know, have you ever, if you're an artist, you know how difficult it is to draw a horse, really. I mean, dimensionally, like have the horse actually look three-dimensional and have muscle and bone tissue and the legs are lined up correctly and the mane is articulated well. And he always wanted to draw a horse and he never could. And he also wanted to really learn how to play the banjo. And he never has been able to master it. He owned a banjo for a while and he would come in when I was going to sleep and try to play some music for me. But, you know, he never mastered it. And he'll admit it. And he also said he wished he had spent some time learning a foreign language, like Spanish perhaps, where he could learn to speak to people who did not speak English and could articulate well what he was trying to say and what he meant. But what about you? What do you wish you did or were doing with you? God gives you, whether you believe it or not, talents. And the purpose of this sermon is to raise up that you are gifted. And God has given you things that need to be used. And, you know, I said already thank you to Sharon for all she does as our clerk, and Gordon for all he does as our treasurer, and our administrative assistant, and our director of CE, and our music minister, and our members of our choir, and our deacons, and our elders, and our ushers, and the people who come and set up church every day on Sunday morning. I mean, we would be standing and not sitting if we didn't have people come and set up. And hospitality, if, you know, who would come and make the coffee? You know, and the church ladies and the efforts that each of you do in going to visit the sick and providing meals when people are struggling, or you know what you do here. And oftentimes what we do in the name of the Lord is not appreciated. Very rarely do we get thanksgiving for serving on a committee, right? I mean, nobody comes up to you and says, "Thank you so much for serving on the Christian Education Committee, James. We're so glad that you're doing that," right? I mean, have you had anybody ever say that to you? Okay, well, now you can say, "I have. Thank you, James, for serving on the Christian Education Committee. Thank you." But most of the time, when you do things for God, you're not appreciated. Not in the way that we're used to being appreciated, are we? Sometimes the service for the Lord goes without thanks. But I'm going to tell you about myself. When I finished my seminary studies, you study in seminary for 3 years. But you may not realize this, you also study over the summer, because they either send you to an internship where you learn hands-on ministry for a whole summer. And the really weird thing about it is you actually pay sometimes to learn. So you're paying to work. I mean, it's kind of crazy. So you go 3 years academically, and then you go 2 summers working, either in a summer language or whatever, right? So you finish, and you basically have almost done almost 4 years of academic work. And when I graduated, I really wanted to do what God wanted me to do. And I didn't feel the sense of his call for the churches that I was interviewing. And so I had to go home and live with my parents. I mean, it was humbling, embarrassing, horrible. I mean, I had a master's degree from Princeton Seminary, and I had to move in with my parents. You guys know anybody like that? I mean, it was a terrible moment in my life. And my mom and dad were very gracious, but they kept telling me that I always had a place for them, place with them. But they really wanted me to find a job. You know, have you ever heard that before? Okay. So I'm living at home, and I'm going to church every Sunday, because maybe you don't know this, but my daddy is a preacher. So I had to go and sit in my dad's church every Sunday in the pew and listen to him preach and offer the prayers and do the leadership of the service while I sat on a pew going, "Why did I go to seminary?" Right? And without realizing it, this was a period of time from I graduated in June, and I did not get my first call until February. That's a lot of Sundays where I sat in that pew wondering what God had in mind for me. And I'll be honest with you, it was humbling. I would sit there and I would cry in church. And my dad thought it was because, I told him this last night, because he thought it was because he was preaching inspirational sermons. And I said, "No, Dad, it really was because I had no job." But all the same, I had gifts for ministry. And I want you to know that every single day, every hour of every day, every minute of every day that I am consciously with us, I thank him for you. because you let me use my gifts. And I don't have to sit there every Sunday and wonder, what am I doing? You have answered God's call in my life. And I get to use my gifts. And the reason I was so sad every single Sunday during that early period after graduation was because I couldn't use my gifts. And I felt useless and helpless. Now, I don't know what your talents are because I don't know each of you that well, but you know your talents. And I can guarantee you, you know when you're not using them. Because whether you like it or not, you wake up and you're sad. Because without God's purpose for your life being lived out, then you are empty. So I want to say thank you to each of you for sharing your gifts. And I want you to think about the parable for a minute with me. For the servant entrusted, one with five, one with two, one with one. Now, you might think that this has to do with money, because certainly the story talks about money, right? So let's just stay in this category of money for a minute. Some of you have been entrusted with a lot of money. And I don't know how you came to it. Maybe somebody was wealthy and left it with you. Or maybe you had a really successful job and you did really well and you got paid well. Or some of you probably did wise investments and even through this terrible economy have survived it and still have money. And some of you earned it and some of you inherited it and some of you got it as a gift. But you have 10 talents as a possibility because you've been given five. Right? And what does the parable say? It's what you do with those five things that matters. Now let's flip the coin for a second and say it's not about money. Let's say it's about gifts. Since I'm sharing about myself today, I might as well keep going down that path, right? I sit in church every day looking at the choir, listening to the choir, thinking, I really wish I had a voice. Because I do. And God bless you if I leave my mic on and I keep singing because you have to listen to the lack of my voice. Right? But I don't have a voice. I mean, Christine has a voice and Vicky has a voice and Sean has a voice and Laura has a voice and Tim has a voice and all of you in the choir have a voice. I don't have one. So I could spend each and every day whining and complaining and being sad because I don't have that gift. Have you ever found yourself doing that? And perhaps you're looking next to you at the person knowing that they have a lot of money, right? Because they have 10 talents now because they invested their first five well, and now they have 10. And you're thinking, they have a lot of money and I have nothing. Right? I mean, have you ever met anybody like that? They're like, I mean, you're around them and you're like, don't you know vocabulary? Don't you know grammar? Can't you speak? Because all they're, you know, I mean, they're sad. They spend their entire life wishing that they were someone else. Or that they had something they don't have. But the danger in that is that you miss out what you do have. And if you have one talent, what can you do with it? I'm going to tell you a story. I have to move ahead a little bit in my sermon here. There was a gentleman who, like me, really wanted to sing. So he went to choir every day, and you know he spent a lot of his energy doing that. He was in the Cremona Boys Choir, and it was high and squeaky, and when it came to the next level of choir performance, he didn't make the grade. And so then his mom and dad were like, don't worry about it. Why don't you take violin? Okay? So he's like, oh, I really want to sing. You know, I'm like, I want to be in the choir. So he took violin lessons, and the neighbors persuaded his parents to make him stop. Have you ever met somebody that, you know, his kid is trying to learn the musical instrument that they purchased or rented, and you're like, hey, you know, can I pay you to, like, make it go away, please? And Antonio still wanted to make music. I mean, that was his whole thing. And his friends gave him a hard time because his only talent was whittling. Have you ever seen a whittler? In these days and age, they're hard to find, but they can take a piece of wood, any kind of wood, right? And they take little instruments, and they go like this, and then you look at it, and it's like this beautiful, amazing thing. A whittler, right? Who knew? I mean, we don't recognize whittlers today, right? So this guy, Antonio, was a whittler. And so soon enough, he found out that he could become an apprentice with a violin maker. And his knack for whittling grew into his skill of carving, and his hobby became a craft, and he worked patiently and faithfully at what he did well. And by the time he died, he left over 1,500 violins, each one bearing a label that read, Antonio Stradivarius. And they are, if you don't know this, the most sought-after violins in all of the world, selling for $100,000 a piece. Let's think about Antonio for a minute. Remember? He couldn't sing. He really wanted to. He couldn't even play the violin. People were paying him to shut up, right? And be quiet about it. He couldn't preach. He couldn't teach. He couldn't play soccer. But he used his gift of whittling. And like that frisbee in the children's time, right? He flew. Our potential is God's gift to you. What you do with what God has given you in your talents is your response to God. Behold, as the master said to those who use their talents well, enter into the joy of your master's love. I pray that you use your gifts well, for now and forevermore. Amen.